An old man is wandering along hillsides, and he's doing what he does every day. He's taking care of some animals. He watches over them, and he looks out to make sure that there's no danger around. He counts them to make sure that they're all there. But for the most part, it's pretty monotonous work. He tends to these animals day in and day out. And they're not even his own animals. These animals belong to his father-in-law, because this man is an outcast. He's been rejected by his adoptive family and by his biological family. Because one day, he saw one of his own people being abused, and in this rash act, he killed the offender and was left to flee for his life. And so he ran away from his family, away from his people, and presumably even away from God. And he ends up in a land that's foreign to him. And he gets married to a woman who is not from his own people group. And he just goes about his days tending to these animals. And he has no reason to think that anything will ever change, that anything will ever be any different than it has been every day these last years. But this day, for some reason, as he's walking along, and not sure if it's because he's replaying the past in his head, feeling his regrets about his life, and he's lost track of where he's going, or maybe it's just the mindlessness of his work, the monotony of it, but all of a sudden, he's wandering, and then he stops, and he looks up, and he realizes that he has come to the mountain where the God of his enslaved people is said to reside. And he must think, why did I let myself end up here? Just to relive all of the guilt and regrets and the shame again? Why did I let myself come to this place? And just as he's about to turn because he's dejected and frustrated with himself, something catches his eye. And he looks over, and he sees that there is a bush that's on fire. And as he looks a little closer, he recognizes that that bush is on fire, but that it's not burning up. And you can understand that his heart probably starts to pound. Something about this is not right. A rush of adrenaline in this old, dejected man starts to feel younger than he actually is, and he's ready to just bolt to make a break for it. And just as he's about ready to run, a voice comes from this bush, and it calls him by name. Moses, Moses, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. So at that moment, instead of running, he makes a choice. He relinquishes what little bit of control that he had left. And instead of running, he unstraps his sandals and stands open to this most unlikely of calls. That this dejected, outcast, elderly man without a people is going to be called to lead God's people out of slavery. You see, the scales have fallen from Moses' eyes. Whereas before, all he could see was the monotony, the day in and day out, and the brokenness of his life. Now when he looks around, he sees the glory of God. And he sees it because this burning bush is only the beginning of the story. It's only the beginning of the story because the rest of the book of Exodus is just packed full of these encounters that Moses will have with God. God is just constantly revealing his glory and his power to Moses. The text says that Mount Sinai would be wrapped up in smoke as God's presence would fill it, and that the earth would actually quake and shake, and Moses would cry out to God, and God would actually answer him in the thunder. Chapter 24, verse 17 describes it like this. Now the appearance of the glory of Yahweh was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain. And then this book just goes on to describe how the relationship between God and Moses buds and blossoms. God goes so far as to invite Moses to call him by name, Yahweh. But even in the giving of his name is this intrinsic sense that God is somehow holy and other than Moses, because we can't even translate the name very well. The closest we can get is something like, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. And Moses gets this. He knows that even in God's very name, that that experience rings true, that this God is so big and so great that God cannot be put into this small box. He cannot be contained. But what Moses is starting to figure out is that even though this God can't be contained or put into a box, what Moses can do is respond in worship and also in humble obedience to the things that God asks him to do. This awareness of God's glory grows to be the norm for Moses rather than the exception. The text tells us that Yahweh used to speak to Moses face to face as one speaks with a friend. Can you imagine that? Speaking with God as one speaks with a friend. So in all of this, all of these encounters with God, they culminate in chapter 33. When God takes Moses and draws him up to Mount Sinai once again, but this time he takes Moses and he tucks him into the crevice of a rock. And for the first time on this side of the Garden of Eden, God passes by a human being and he allows Moses to experience God's glorious presence firsthand. Can you imagine what kind of an effect that would have on a human being? The text gives us a clue of what happens when we encounter God like that. Exodus 34:29 reads, Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. His face was shining. So why this story? What does it matter? In preparing for this sermon, I kept coming back to this story, and particularly this moment when Moses comes down from the mountain and his face is shining. Because out of all of the theological implications that come from the book of Exodus, and there are loads of them, for some reason, this moment was just gnawing on me all week as I was preparing for this. And I think I finally figured out at least part of why this text just meant so much, is because I think I identify with Moses. I move about tending to all of the busy things of my life, and good things too. Getting kids up in the morning, getting them fed and clothed, ready for school, hugged and kissed and out the door. trying desperately to maintain patience in the midst of that, tending to my work and our home, to our relationships, cleaning and cooking and just trying to get by. But all the while, I can be completely oblivious to the glory of God that surrounds me at every turn, in every nook and cranny of this world, that has taken up residence in my inner being and is out loosed in the world. I love this story. I love it because Moses wakes up. He wakes up and he becomes acutely aware of God's presence, and then he starts seeing it everywhere he looks. And that is part of the call of this story for us this morning. Sometimes a ray of God's glory breaks through the clouds of our lives and shines in a brilliant display. I think each of us have a sense of that. Maybe it's a song that you hear that resonates deep down into the core of your being. Or it's that feeling when a baby is born and placed on her mother's chest. Or maybe right now it's when you walk outside and you look up into a tree that's decked out in red and orange and yellow, and it looks an awful lot like a burning bush. Maybe it's the embrace of someone that you love. Or for that one moment when you just feel centered before God and you simply look around you and for a minute, everything feels like it should be. It's that smell or that sound or that feeling that no matter how hard you try, you can't recreate it or even extend it for a little while. But those moments are the inbreaking of the glory of God, and it matters so, so much. It matters because in our guts, we know that that's what we were created for. We are created to be face to face with our Creator, talking as one speaks with a friend. In a creation that is good and whole, and our faces shining with the glory of the one who created us. And here's the thing. Once we start paying attention, just like Moses, we start to see God's hand at work everywhere. We profess that we are all made in the image of God. So every time we come into contact with another human being, there is the opportunity that somehow you are going to experience a shadow of the glory of God just with that other person. We profess that this creation was made to be good. And so every time we walk out into the world, we have the opportunity to see God's beauty at work. It's what Jesus keeps telling us in the Gospels when he says, "Those who have ears, let them hear." Because once you catch a note of it, you can't help but to start to hear the symphony that is all around you. And so that's going to be our task for the rest of our time here together today. I would like for us to share some of your notes of that symphony that's taking place around you. Where do you see the inbreaking of God's glory that makes you feel like your face is shining? It can be little, it can be big. But I'm asking you, I want some feedback here. Where do you see the inbreaking of the glory of God? I'll give you a second to think about that. But when you think of something, just raise your hand. In your backyard, the fall colors and what?
Wind.
And the wind. Yep. It's a manifestation of the glory of God right now. Yeah.
There's a wasp's nest in one of my windows, and I can't get rid of it because I'm fascinated by watching how they are dormant at night.
Huh.
It's cool, and then when the weather warms up, there's a flurry of activity, and just watching them work, it just amazes me.
Hmm. So she's saying even there's this wasp nest that's trapped in her window and she can't get rid of them, but it's just amazing even to watch these wasps at night go dormant and at day this activity that comes about. Yes. Yeah.
Last night, the thunderstorm came
through. Huh. Yes, the thunderstorm last night. All of a sudden, the sky's bright, and then this thunderstorm moves in, and there's lightning. We actually ran outside to watch that because it just came down so powerfully. It's amazing. Where else? Where do you see it? Yeah. So like she's out on the plaza and everybody's walking around, all of a sudden it starts raining and everybody looks up and experiences this rain at the same time, and then they go on about their business, but you're all experiencing the same kind of thing at the same time. Yeah. Yeah.
See it right here.
Amen.
My wife's pregnant.
There's a pregnant belly down here. And that is the inbreaking of the glory of God. Yeah, Laura. Mike Crawford's songs. Amen. There's lots of amens. Yeah. Hi. Say it one more time. Jeannie says the hug of a friend or a family. The smile on her father's face, who is 87 years old. Yeah, Steve.
You go to tuck your babies in at night when they're already asleep, and you open that door, and they're just not talking anymore.
That's a good moment. Such a good moment. Did you hear that up there? When he goes to tuck his kids in, and they're not talking, and it's quiet. Yes, that is a good moment. Yeah.
Twice a year, I have doves that will lay a nest in a gutter, and I can sit in the guest room and look out the window, and I watch that mother dove never leave the egg, and even reaching out the window and breaking the screen, trying to cover it with an umbrella.
Oh.
I guess now that my little one's grown and gone, and you have that time when you just look for things to envelop yourself in and feel that special kind
in
whatever it is.
Yep. So she has this nest of doves twice a year that lay eggs right there in her gutter, and she watches these mothers as they raise their babies, they hatch, they fly away, and then they come back. Yeah, Mervin.
As our team gets ready to go to Africa, I have a friend of mine who's getting back from Uganda today, and he sent photographs. He's a plastic surgeon, and he's been repairing cleft palates on children and sending photos back. And the look in their eye and the difference in what they see their future at this point. And just when I see those, I've wanted to, like, hug somebody. The world seems smaller and brighter.
Yep.
That.
Yep. So Mervin has a friend who just came back from Uganda who does plastic surgery to repair cleft palates on kids' faces. And just the intrinsic sense of, like, we're all humans here, and to just watch in a child's eyes their future just change. It makes him want to just hug someone. Yeah, Tracy. So Tracy is involved with Young Life, and she has 150 kids that show up every Thursday to listen to them talk about Jesus. And then also having one of those 16-year-olds who was pregnant and chose to go through the adoption process, and now that life, having a life. Anyone else? Yeah. So 233 dogs that were saved out of an abusive environment, and they each found a home. It's even in those small men breakings, yeah.
The sun coming in through the stained glass.
I noticed that too. The sun that breaks through these stained glass windows. Was there one more? Somebody's pointing. No? Oh, David, hi.
So I went to Guatemala, and it was pretty rough. But I want to go back. So
So he went to Guatemala, and it was hard, and he thought he'd never return, and now all he wants to do is go back because he just loves those people. Yes. So you're getting it. You're hearing it. We have those moments where we feel that, where we feel those inbreaking of the glory of God, and it's just enough to knock you on your knees just for a moment and just stop and just recognize who we are and also the glory of God. Each of those gives notes to that symphony that I was talking about that's somehow bigger than ourselves when we recognize that. And I also, though, I can't go by this without saying there may be some of us too who sat there and are thinking and thinking and thinking and just can't see it right now. You can't see the inbreaking of the glory of God. But that's why we do this. Because we also believe that it's in those moments when you can't see it, but someone else can. And it's our job to hold you for a little while until you can have the faith to start to see that for yourselves. So that's what we've done this morning. Just in these little bits of stories, we've reached down, we've unlaced our own shoes, and with Moses, we take off our shoes and we recognize that we are standing on holy ground everywhere that we go. That God's glory shines and breaks through in all sorts of expected and unexpected ways. And all it is just this slight paradigm shift, just this opening of our eyes and our hearts and our ears so that we can be aware of those times. So that is What I just hope for you for this week is that you walk out and that somehow maybe our eyes are a little more attuned, that our ears are a little more unstopped, so that we can be open to God's glory. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you and we praise you and we stop in our tracks in the busyness of our life. And we just pray for the grace in different moments to just stop and to open our eyes and to open our ears, just to be aware that you are right here with us and that you are so holy and so other than who we are. And yet, you want to talk with us as one talks with a friend. And that is enough to just make us fall down and just thank you and praise you. God, please just sensitize our hearts so that we are a little more aware this week of your presence and your glory. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.